This is John Mills. Welcome back to another episode of Acquired Tastings. I'm pulling out of the archives today one that's very fun to have. You know, St. Patrick's Day is just around the corner. This one will post on March 14th. And as you know, the next Sunday is St. Patrick's Day. You know, Josh and I have done a lot of different podcasts and we've made mistakes, and this is a little one that we got corrected on. Our friend from Ireland, Elaine, listened to this podcast and corrected our pronunciation of Josh's beer. I did Guinness and he did Smittich, and you gotta pronounce it without the W. And so Josh and I both probably said it with the W, and I was kind of thinking that maybe we were saying it wrong, but I didn't want to correct him on the air, and that was the wrong thing to do. But we had a great podcast. We had those two Irish beers, and we had very traditional Irish food. So I hope you enjoy this one, and I'm so excited that some of you are still out there. We are approaching 16,000 downloads. We're at 15,893, just 107 away. So I'm excited that some of you are still out there. We're still picking up locations in the world. It's really exciting to see that. And we're still out on the socials just a little bit. You know, I'll post something before this gets posted or that day. I'm not sure because I'll be going to church on Sunday, and then I'll be going to the traditional party with my friends. And I'm sure you'll do something yourself. And if you don't do beer, you can always do whiskey. There are some really good Irish whiskeys out there. And there's a podcast. You can look back at a podcast, and I think it's number like 35, where we did Irish water, which we really was whiskey. So stay with us. Watch the socials. We try to do something every once in a while. This one's out of the archives again. And we'd love to hear from you. We're still monitoring acquiredtastings@gmail.com. I hope you enjoy this one. Thank you and goodbye.
This is Josh Mills.
And this is John Mills.
Welcome back to another episode of Acquired Tastings. We are very excited that you guys are here with us today for a beer episode. And we're going to be, because it's currently Pi Day, when we're recording this, so March 14th. And since we're coming up.
There's another holiday coming up, right, Josh?
There's just another one, little one called St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yeah.
And so we decided to do some Irish beer since it's right around when we're recording. So, Dad, what are you doing this week?
I'm doing Guinness, Irish style.
Okay, and what are your foods to go along with it?
Oh, my foods are the Kerrygold Dubliner with Irish stout cheese. And then I have standard old fish and chips.
Okie dokie.
Not fries, chips.
Well, but for all of us Americans, you know, they are French fries. Fries and chips. And then I'm going to be doing the Smithwick's Irish Red, or Smithwick's number one for some of our international folks. And then my foods, I have some corned beef, I have Irish soda bread, and in honor of Pi Day and, you know, just being a good beer pairing, I think so, we have a four cheese pizza.
All right, sounds good. With us.
So before we get started, let's talk about the wine blind from last week.
Oh, it wasn't last week, but it was the week before, because last week we did cocktails.
No, cocktails, wine, and then beer.
Oh, that's right.
I accidentally put the wrong thing on.
Oh, that's right.
But I changed it on social media.
Okay, so I mentioned that too.
But no, from last week, the blind, I thought it was a New World Pinot Noir, because it didn't have a whole lot of tannin structure, light bodied.
Yeah, that's what I recall that you said. It was New World.
Well, and what was it, Dad?
You said New World what?
Pinot Noir.
Well, it's not a Pinot Noir, and it's not New World. This is Reserva Barbarella, a product of Italy, and it's a 2013.
Yeah, so Barbaresco, made from the Nebbiolo grape. I was, you know, I
Going back to that wine,
the tannins kind of got you.
Yeah, and it was weird. Like, as it warmed up, the tannins showed out a whole lot more than when I was actually tasting it. Or I just knew what it was, and I knew what I was looking for, so.
Well, we did drink the rest of it.
Yeah, we did
after the podcast.
We did finish, you know, most of the bottles last week. But, no, that was a good one. So,
this is highly rated. You know, it's rated 86 out of 100.
Yeah.
And then on Ravino, it's 3.5 stars. And you know how that is. People will say, some people put 3 as really good, but not fantastic. So you never know what that really means to the person that scored it.
Yeah. So.
And it's reasonably priced. It's about $20.
It's a good bottle.
Yeah. You know,
definitely delicious bottle at that point. So we're going to head into our Irish beers. We're going to start with mine this week.
All right.
From lighter to dark. So I have the Smithwick's Irish Red Ale, or the Smithwick's number one, kind of what I found out when I was doing some research, that it's actually in other parts of the world, it's labeled as Smithwick's number one.
I didn't know that either.
Because it was their first beer that they made.
Okay.
Once again, my foods, I've got some corned beef, I have some Irish soda bread, and then some 4 cheese pizza. I think Dad, in the pairing order, will probably go to the bread, the pizza, and then to the corned beef.
Yeah, okay.
Or if you want to put, you know, some of the corned beef on the bread, it's really kind of what it's kind of, it's wild west. Yeah. It's the Wild West over here.
Now, where'd you get soda bread, Josh?
So everything on my plate today is from Trader Joe's.
Oh, okay. No problem.
So the corned beef, it was like, I don't know if it was pre-corned, but I actually, like, you know, boiled it on the stove.
Mm-hmm.
Irish soda bread was already made, and the same with the pizza was just a frozen pizza that I added some more of their 4 cheese blend to.
Yeah, okay.
Let's go ahead and get into this. So what do you see when you look at this beer, and what do you smell?
Okay, well, trying to look at it, it's a dark reddish color.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of nice head.
Definitely like a good amber, really rich ruby amber color.
And I'm smelling it, and, you know, there's some good stuff going on in that nose.
Oh, yeah.
Sweetness, almost like molasses. I don't know. Yeah. Are you getting that?
I'm getting some of that, like, really roasty, full malty kind of flavor going on.
So it's classified as a red ale?
It's a red ale, yep.
Yeah, so you don't normally get all that roasted barleys with a red ale. They're usually, my mind, they're usually a little lighter than this.
They, you know, on the nose, they can be. So I was looking at one of the international beer judging sheets on this, and it seems like it can go a wide range from kind of lightly malted to more heavily malted, depending on how they do it. And this was one of the standard beers that they said to, you know, kind of check out. But it smells, you know, it smells really roasty, real malty, real sweet. Not really much hop flavor going on in it.
No. I'd say it's malt forward. Yeah.
This is definitely a malt forward beer. Man, that palate is delicious. It's nice, easy, light, malty, roasty. Almost a little like candy.
Almost, yeah. That's why I said the molasses, because that's almost like candy.
Right. It's almost like, you know, it's not like as bitter, as sweet as like regular molasses. It's almost like sorghum.
Okay.
That reminds me of some sorghum molasses we've had before.
Okay. But now, some of our international listeners may not know what that is.
Yeah, so sorghum is a plant that's grown here in the United States, especially in the South. That is it's kind of like a grain. It's used, you can cook it and make molasses out of it. So it was a cash crop for people who couldn't grow sugar, but still wanted to have molasses.
At first it looks like corn coming up.
Yeah.
Or maize. And then it gets this big head of the flour of the grain.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And my great-grandpa had a sorghum processing mill. Is that right?
Yeah, my grandfather. Your great-grandpa.
Anyway, but it has that kind of like sweeter flavor. So,
Dad,
as I get into some of the history, why don't you go ahead and start doing some of the pairings, and then when I'll stop, and then you can kind of let us know what your kind of take on it. So Smithwick's, they're considered one of the oldest breweries in Ireland. They trace their heritage all the way back to the 13th century.
Oh, my goodness.
When Catholic monks came to Ireland and started brewing in the St. Francis Abbey in Kilkenny, Ireland.
Okay.
Kilkenny, I can never place where I know Kilkenny from, but it's a name that sounds very familiar to me. And, you know, the monks there brewed until the Reformation in 1537, when they were actually forced to close.
Oh.
You know, during this time, there was a whole lot of Catholic oppression in Ireland.
Yeah.
And the Protestant Reformation is like, you couldn't be openly Catholic. Like, you couldn't own land or run for a political office if you were Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
You almost couldn't worship openly when you were Catholic. And that's that hostility, you know, led to some of the things we've talked about before when we've talked about Northern Ireland and some of the troubles. But John Smithwick moved to Kilkenny in the 1700s.
Okay.
In the early 1700s. He was Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And so he couldn't, you know, he couldn't own land. He couldn't run, you know, do anything. But he partnered with a guy named John Cole, who leased some land and started brewing there.
So is this Northern Ireland?
No, it's actually Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not in Northern Ireland. It's Kilkenny, Ireland.
Well, you confused me when you said he couldn't own land because he's Catholic.
Well, this is back when England was over them and all the Protestant Reformation was happening.
Right. Okay.
Before some of that actually happened.
Okay. Gotcha.
And because of this, he actually had to like market in secret. Couldn't have his name on the beer. Couldn't really openly sell his beer. But luckily he was a good...
But he could openly drink it, right?
Well, he could openly drink, yeah. But it doesn't do you any good as a business if you're just drinking all your stores. But, you know, he had some good business savvy and was able to sell it to pubs. And, I mean, this is a great product that, you know, people would sell it, but he just couldn't openly market it. And, you know, if pubs were selling it, they're like, oh, this is just, you know, an ale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a local ale,
mm-hmm.
Which was pretty cool. So I've seen you've been snacking a little bit. What you got going on?
I want to know what's in the soda bread. Are those raisins?
So there are raisins. Usually, I haven't looked at the ingredients in this, but usually in Irish soda bread, there are raisins and caraway seeds.
I got the caraway seeds.
Yeah, and then raisins.
And then I think it's raisins.
Mm-hmm.
So with the sweetness of the raisins goes very well with the sweetness of this beer. Now, the caraway seeds give you that tartness that is a contrast to this beer. And so, and then the soda bread, it itself has some sweetness from that soda.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a whole thing going on in your mouth. It's great mouthfeel of the bread, the sweetness of the raisins, the bitterness of the caraway seeds, and then the sweetness of the beer. So it's, you know, my mouth's real happy over it.
Yeah.
Just to say it that way.
Yeah, those caraway seeds, you know, really kind of kill that initial perceived sweetness in the beer.
Mm-hmm.
And just gives you that earthy roastiness.
That's right.
From the beer, which I think is great.
That's another way to say it.
So this beer is 4.5%.
Oh, okay.
So it's not going to put you back.
Right.
But it's nice, full-flavored, light alcohol. I mean, 4.5, that's kind of Bud Light level, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, look at the can on the Guinness. I think it's about the same.
Guinness, where are you? Do I have to put
it? I don't have that memorized.
They have to put it on here.
Yeah. But I think it's 4-something.
Anyway.
Well, never mind. I'll figure it out.
Anyway, so yeah, it's nice and light on the alcohol side. You can have a couple of these and it's not gonna put you back a little bit. But moving forward, talking about just some of the history of Smithwick's, you know, John's son Edward. So John and Edward over there.
Hey, yeah.
John and Edward.
Yeah.
So Edward Smithwick finally was able to get their name on their gate to their brewery, but not until 1827. So around 100 years after they had started brewing, they finally were able to market themselves with their own name. And between the 1850s and the 1860s, they upped their production from 5,000 barrels to 40,000 barrels. So that's, you know, eight times as much within 10 years.
That is, yeah.
And back in the 1800s, that's a massive production hike.
Yeah.
And to keep, you know, keep everything cool. But, you know, Ireland's not, you know, Ireland's also known for having some bad times going on around this time. And during the famine of 1847, Edmund, who was mayor, so some of those Catholic restrictions had been lifted, who was mayor and had been mayor like three or four times, put business aside and started a soup kitchen.
Okay.
With his local rival to help feed people of the their village, just to make sure profit's not always the most important thing. If you don't have anybody, if everyone dies of hunger,
right,
no one can drink your beer.
Right.
So you gotta help them out.
And by the way, the ABV of the Guinness is 4.2.
Okay. So right around the same.
So did you try the corned beef?
I'm just getting into the corned beef now. Those are really good corned beef. Really good. You know, so it's not preserved. This corned beef is not preserved. So you have to keep it, like, before you cook it. And afterwards, you have to keep it refrigerated. It's right. Not like deli meat. But it's really good.
Again, there's some good sweetness with this corned beef. And I don't know if it comes from all the different herbs they use. I mean, the curing of it. Because it's really, isn't it really just a brisket?
It's pickled brisket.
Yeah.
Basically.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically pickled brisket.
And for the listener's sake, I always eat the fat.
Yeah, really good.
That's some of that sweetness, too.
That pickly, briny, mustardy flavor that corned beef has is really nice. And then, you know, the beer actually holds up to it because it's got enough body to it. And this actually shows the beer is sweeter than when you taste it by itself. And then, you know, so they've just been continuing to move their production up. They started exporting in the late 1800s, and they consider themselves Ireland's favorite beer, or Ireland's number one beer.
Okay.
It's Smithwick's. And I think maybe because, you know, who knows? I don't know if it's sold more, but that's just kind of one of the things they put about in their own marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been really cool to, like, learn a little bit more about, like, this beer style itself. Because I usually don't drink
red.
I usually don't drink reds. They're not in many bars, and not many people make them that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when I've been kind of looking up, you know, they can go from low to, like, kind of like we're having here, that little candy sweetness. Usually no hop flavor, so the hops are there, but they're not really there. But they can be there if you want them to. So this beer kind of gives you a nice play as a brewer to kind of fiddle with it and make it your own. And it's a really good beer. I forgot how much I like this beer. I haven't had one in probably 10 years.
What?
Yeah.
It's not one I normally drink either.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the only two big red ales that I know of are Smithwick's and Killian's.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And usually, I don't know if...
Well, I think O'Hara...
I know a couple places that have them on tap, if anywhere has them on tap right now in town.
Right. I think O'Hara's is a red, but we don't get it here. And you're right. It's hard to find them to begin with, and it's especially hard to find them on tap.
Yeah.
They may do a tap thing this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And put it on a tap somewhere.
Yeah, but still, it's almost like, you know, most people think of, when they think of Irish beer, they think of Guinness.
Or Harp.
But neither of those are a red ale.
Right.
Or they think of, you know, green Bud Light.
Right.
Which is gross.
So why, Josh, do some people drink green beer on St. Patrick's Day?
I don't know.
Well, green beer isn't actually a traditional Irish way to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
There were times, Josh, I'd go to St. Patrick's Day and I'd wear my white tennis shoes and I'd come home and they had all kinds of little green spots on them.
Yeah. Not surprised by that at all.
Well, there has historical relevance to a not known fact that's used to call beer, and that is grain beer isn't necessarily what they were talking about to begin with was not that it's green in color.
Right.
But that what is but that it was green because it was not ready and that it caused stomach issues. Now, back in those days when I would drink the green beer, and I know there's an event right now over at Rusty Tractor where they're doing green beer and other things. That didn't appeal to me. But I think what happens is a lot of people would drink that green Bud or Bud Light
right
to the extent that they would get
green.
They would turn green
with it.
That's funny.
So that's kind of the story. It kind of originated in the early 1900s, probably in, you know, New York starts a lot of things. So right. That's probably where it started.
It could have started in Boston.
It could have, but what I'm reading here imply that it was, you know, at some bar in New York City.
Ah.
You know, kind of the social club thing.
Well, here's an interesting Irish American fact for you. Where, I'll ask it as a question, where is the largest per capita Irish American group of people in the United States?
I would say New York City.
Okay. No.
Okay, I missed it.
It's not Boston. A lot of people think of Boston as a big Irish area.
Mm-hmm.
It is Butte, Montana.
What?
Butte, Montana has the highest per capita.
Oh, you're making that.
No, I am dead serious. And they're known for it. I mean, they have a massive Irish population.
Wow.
Irish heritage population there. And they have a, from what I hear, a massive St. Patrick's Day party.
Like, okay.
The town basically shuts down.
Okay.
Like, I think back in the day, you know, when, you know, Butte's a mining town for copper.
Mm-hmm.
I think the mine would shut down on St. Patty's Day.
Well, it was probably the Irish workers that were working that mine. They had to shut it down because they weren't going to come to work anyway.
Right. And so that was it. You know, there was an influx of Irish immigrants to Butte to work in the copper mines.
Right.
There in the Anaconda mine.
Right.
It's Butte, Montana has the largest per capita.
Okay, you got me on that. Irish. That's cool.
Yeah, Irish population in the United States.
How big is Butte?
I don't know. It's not very big.
Well, it's not a million people or anything.
No. I don't even think there's barely over a million people in the state of Montana.
Well, they're about,
okay. So it's probably about the size of maybe Little Rock.
Okay.
So, not a massive population, but just per capita, the percentage is the highest there.
Well, we both tried the corned beef.
Yeah, and I had the pizza, and this is a very, very pizza-friendly beer. It hits it right down the middle. You get the bitterness of the beer, you get the sweetness of the beer, because this is a four-cheese pizza, so you have some, kind of funky Italian cheese flavors going on in it, and it's really good. You know, I think this beer could hold up to almost anything you throw at. Any pub food would be phenomenal with this beer. It could hold up to some higher class is the wrong word, but more elegant dishes than pub food. But you know, it's fantastic where it is. This is also just a good drinking beer.
You know, a Guinness pie or some other kind of pie.
Mm-hmm.
Meat pies.
Yeah. You know, I think this is just a good drinking beer.
It is a good beer.
You know, with it being lower in alcohol, it's full flavored. You sit, like you said, you can have sit and have a couple and not really be worried about it.
Now, I think if the Bud Light people or the Bud people would get over that color thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're laughing, so you know. If they get over a beer having color.
Right.
They could probably drink this beer because it's low in the alcohol. It's sweet.
Right.
It's not an IPA where the hops are going to knock them down and slap them in the face. You know, it's a really...
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say it's a Bud Light killer.
No, it is definitely not. I think it has too much bitterness. And there's not a whole lot of bitterness. I think the IBUs of this is like 40 some odd.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's way it's lower than that.
I don't know what it is.
The IBUs of this is a lot lower, but I think it would be the the perceived bitterness that would kind of make some people go, ooh,
yeah, that's true.
So bitter.
So I'm with you on the cheese, the pizza.
Yeah, it's really good.
Do you know what cheeses are in there? You said five cheeses.
Four cheeses.
Okay.
Asiago, Parmesan, mozzarella, and fontina. I'm pretty sure are the four.
Okay.
It's okay. It's a good little thing. So I, I really enjoyed this. Do you have any other questions about Smithwick's?
All right. It's a good beer.
Yeah.
Now.
I really enjoy it.
We did a half and half.
Yes, we did.
And you get a good picture of it?
I did get a good picture of it. Okay, it's more blended now.
So, listeners, this particular... All the half and halves probably have another name to them.
Yes,
they do. And do you know what this name is, Josh?
I do not.
Okay. Well, it's called a blacksmith.
Oh, a blacksmith.
Yeah.
So, for people who don't know, what we're talking about is... So when you have Guinness on nitro, it will actually float on top of other beers when it's poured properly. So you can do half your glass of a particular beer and then basically float Guinness on top of it. And the original Black and Tan is, wait.
No.
It's let me tell the story. Sorry, yeah, okay. You tell the story because I almost made the mistake.
You almost did. So if you go to Ireland and you want a half and half, and a true half and half in Ireland is Harps on the bottom, Guinness on top.
Because they're both made by the same brewing
half
company.
Half and half. Now, if you make the mistake and say, I want a black and tan, we have some friends, and I can't remember the whole story, who the people were that first told me this story, but they went to Ireland, and one of their friends ordered a black and tan. And the other people ordered a Guinness, other people ordered a Harps, some other people ordered something else, maybe a Smithwick. And somebody else ordered a half and half. All the beers
A half and half or a black and tan?
Somebody ordered a black and tan.
Okay.
Somebody ordered a half and half. Somebody else ordered a Guinness, blah, 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 blah.
God.
Everybody got their beer. Except the person that ordered black and tan. And he's getting upset. And what was the problem? A black and tan is English Bass Ale and Guinness.
Right.
Now, the English and the Irish are not really friends.
No.
So that's what happened. Don't go over there and make that mistake.
So, order a half and half. So...
No, there's other half and halves.
Right.
And you can specify that you wanted the Smith.
Right. So this is called a blacksmith. So we've got Smithwick's on the bottom and then Guinness on top. And another one is a snake bite. Have you know what a snake bite is?
I've forgotten. Tell me.
A snake bite is cider. It's a hard cider and Guinness on top.
Mm-hmm.
You have black and tan. You have a half and half.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back when... New Belgium was making their beer Shift.
Yeah.
Remember we did night shifts?
Yes, we did.
And so you can really do it with whatever,
yeah.
Kind of whatever beer you want. There's even one, I think it's called a Black Star, where it's champagne or sparkling wine on bottom and then Guinness on top.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I don't know if I would call that fun. I mean, it may be fun in the moment, but the next day may not be. May not be too fun, but this is a good representation of, you know, kind of what it's about.
Well, and Guinness hasn't been doing the nitro forever.
Well, yeah, it's a newer technology.
They started it in 1959, so that's how all that, you know, half and half kind of thing started.
Mm-hmm.
Once they did the nitro, and what we're doing today. Of course, I don't have a tapper in this house to pull our beer through the nitro. Guinness is really smart about it. They make Guinness nitronated cans, and they also make the bottles. Well, to me, the can works better.
Yeah.
And when you open that can, you get that, not just the pop of the can opening, but you get that diffusion of the nitro into the beer at that point.
Yeah.
And I really like it.
Well, and so if you've ever seen a Guinness poured in a bar, you'll notice that they never pour it all the way up at once. And they you pour it part way and you let the beer fall, which all nitro beers have to fall because nitrogen is lighter than air.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually will rise up through the beer and it creates a, well, we talked about this during the, when we did the left-hand nitro milk stout.
Mm-hmm.
It creates like a silky, like a lighter consistency within the beer and a more coating mouthfeel.
So do you have the certificate?
Dad, have I been to Ireland?
No.
No. So the answer is no. I do not have.
Okay, David Christopher and Marie, I think.
They both have it.
They both have it. Well, your dad could have had it. But for some reason, when he was going through the museum at St. James Gate, he missed the turn. And took the turn to where they pour my beer, because you get a free beer at the end of the museum.
Right.
Even if you go and get the certificate, which means they show you how to pour the perfect beer. Now, I have a friend, and unfortunately, he died of cancer, named Donald. Not his Irish Donald.
Donald.
Yeah.
Not Donald.
Not Donald.
Donald.
Donald. Donald. And he's a big Irish guy. And I'd watch him drink those Guinnesses. He would drink two or more to my one.
Oh, wow.
And in fact, the last time I saw him, I was in Denver and we had a meeting and he had the cancer and he said, I want to meet you for a beer after the meeting. And I said, you're not supposed to be drinking beer. And he said, shh. Don't tell my wife. We're just going to have one. Well, he drank two. But he was so much a perfectionist about his Guinness. The perfect pour, there has to be like this mimesis over the top of the pint.
Yeah.
Not just partly full or even full. It has to be overfull with that liquid mimesis.
Yeah. It's got to have that nice little bubble.
Nice little curved bubble on top. I saw him send a beer rack one time because it was a quarter of an inch short.
Oh my goodness.
But, I mean, you know, you want the perfect pour.
You don't want to, you know, get gypped out on your beer.
I guess we're transitioning.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm ready to move over.
All right. Again, for my snacks, I have this Irish cheese with Irish stout in it. And then I have the fish and then the chips. And these are not the French fry shape. These are potatoes cut on the edges.
Okay.
So that's the difference between, you know, fries and chips. So we can start with the cheese and go to the fish and go to the chips, or you can go to the chips and then the fish, either one.
Right. So if you don't know this, Guinness is black. It is black. It is deep. It is taking in all the light. Even though we have poured these, you know, over a half an hour ago, there's still a nice little head on top. And that's partly because of the nitro.
Right.
That's in there. And just how it is. You know, I always, like, when I drink a Guinness, I like to see the line of the head that falls, that kind of goes down and covers the glass as I'm drinking it.
So the Guinness started with a man named Arthur Guinness. And he was born in 1725. And at 1752... he inherits 100 pounds from his godfather. Now we're thinking 100 pounds. Now 100 pounds back in 1752.
A lot of money.
Was a whole lot more money. So then what he did is he, on December 31st, 1759, which was 4 years later, He signs a 9,000-year lease on a small, disused, and ill-equipped property at St. James Gate.
9,000-year?
9,000-year lease. Now, go out there and get a 9,000-year lease today.
Is that rent control, too? Can't raise a rent?
Well, I think it probably was, Josh. So, there's a long, not as long as the story you told, but there is a long history of Guinness, and it is in Dublin. And so, I see that you started a snack over there.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Okay.
So, the cheese is kind of bitter.
Mm.
It's got a lot of, like, nice big salty kind of crystals in it, which is really good. But just a note about Guinness as a beer. Everyone always thinks that Guinness, because it's color and that, you know, you see it kind of like stained down the glass, that it's going to be this thick, oily, heavy beer. And it is not.
No.
Guinness is light on the palate. It's almost thin for a stout. Like if you put other stouts next to it,
right,
it will be probably, if not the most thin, it will be one of the thinnest stouts in the lineup. But it packs so much roasty, bittery flavor. But there's also like a light sweetness that goes through it. And it's a great beer by itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and he started, Arthur Guinness, he actually started making porter.
Yeah.
And, he had his porters going to India.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we call it an extra stout, or it can be called that. And so that may be where it gets its name, because it's got this porter that can travel.
Well, if you remember back to our porter episode when we talked about porters and stouts and the namings of it, you know, it had to do with like the amount of malt and how big the beer was.
Right.
So like an extra stout would be a bigger version of the stout.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have anything about how it's different in different countries?
Well, no, but...
People swear by it.
I will swear by it as well. Of course, two things. You go to Ireland, you're going to get it on tap. And yeah, you can still buy the can or the whatever, but it tastes different. Tastes better somehow, maybe it's just being there makes it better.
Well, no, but even I know you've said it, Marie said it, a lot of people I know have said it, that Guinness like legitimately tastes different.
It's creamier
in Ireland, even if it's on draft here versus draft in Ireland.
Right.
It tastes different.
Right. So 1799, there's a new heir because Arthur Guinness II kind of takes over the family business. I could go on long and long and long with their history. And I agree with you about the cheese. It's got a bittering taste to it.
Right.
And maybe that's the Irish stout that's somehow in this cheese. I don't know enough about how they made this cheese.
Right.
But it's different than that Irish cheese we had before.
It is very different than regular Dubliner,
right?
Because this is also like it's drier, it's crumblier, but it's a good cheese. It just to me this is a cheese that needs like a drink or needs something with it, like some type of fruit or because of how bitter and how dry it is, like. It's almost like when you eat a spoonful of peanut butter.
Yeah.
And your mouth just kind of like, just kind of like sticks together. And they just get, this kind of has that effect. So it needs something to go with it. And I think this beer goes quite well with it.
Yeah. So have you tried the fish yet?
No.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to abstain from the fish.
You know, your mom said that.
Just not feeling that today. Yeah. And the cheese actually makes the beer more watery. Like it thins it.
Well, you said
more.
Thinner, yeah.
Well, no, but it tastes. Guinness tastes that way to me on its own. Very thin, not real coating, just kind of like a regular beer. But the cheese really like knocks out a lot of those big roasty flavors because it is a big cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a funky cheese. It's just a big, full flavored, dry, sharp cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the deal with the harp on the can? Did you find anything in your research about that? Because I've always wondered why the harp and the whole thing about St. James Gate.
I'll have to look, Josh. I didn't think to look that up.
Well, because, you know, we talked about it when we were talking about the half and halves, that this is not the only beer that Guinness makes. They make harps as well.
Harps.
Mm-hmm. And they call it harps because there's a harp on the label. And I was just wondering if that was, if it meant anything or if there was a story that went with it.
Yeah, I'm reading it right now. It's based on a 14th century Irish harp known as O'Neill or Brian Boru harp, which is now preserved in the Library of Trinity College, Dublin. It is because of the harp trademark that Guinness Company named its first lager harp. Oh.
So there's no real reason why they have it. Nah, except it's just it's just a piece of Irish history.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so on the label of the Smithwicks, there's a little castle, and I didn't talk about it, but that's because that land that I said that initially was leased was on the castle in Kilkenny, the castle grounds of Kilkenny, Ireland.
Okay.
So that's why they have the little castle there.
Okay.
But anyway, I was just curious. I mean, so
it's the coat of arms too of Ireland.
Oh,
is the harp.
Okay.
So I guess maybe putting two and two together here without reading the whole Wikipedia, because they were brewing in Dublin, which is Ireland, and because the coat of arms of Ireland is the harp, they just adopted the harp.
Maybe.
And that first beer was, I guess the first beer they made was harps.
Maybe. I don't know. But so, speaking of first beers, when I turned 21, my first beer that I ever had was a Guinness.
Ooh.
And it was in a little pub with Marie in Florence.
Okay.
Because I turned 21 when I was over in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Marie had taken me out, and we had, you know, I've talked about my, you know, first experience with wine and that experience on that trip, but my first beer that I had was a Guinness, and people were like, when I tell people, they're like, you're like, what? How is that ever your first beer? I was like, I was what you drank. You drank a lot of Guinness around that time, and I did not want to drink beer because of how bad it smelled when you made it.
Oh, okay.
And I did not want to drink beer. You know, I was more of a wine and a liquor guy. Once I started getting into it, you know, beer always had this like standoffish thing with me because I was afraid. Like, I really don't like the smell of it brewing, especially trapped in a house. And so I stayed away from beer. But the first one I had was a Guinness.
What did Marie help you pick it out or what?
No,
there's other beers.
No, I picked it.
Well, okay.
No, I picked it. I was like, you know, I think she had a gin and tonic and I had a beer. And then I tried the gin and tonic because that's the family drink. And I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Well, I still can't get behind the gin.
Back to the fish. It is breaded and it's a white fish. I don't know if it's cod or what it is. But the breading, the white fish basically doesn't really have any taste. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
But the breading does. And so the breading has some sweetness to it that goes very well with the Guinness.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that the Irish, the Scottish, and others do is use malt vinegar on their fish.
Mm-hmm.
And then that adds that different flavor of the malt vinegar, which kind of is bittering.
Surprised you don't have malt vinegar.
Well, I don't. I didn't want to conflict the fish with the malt vinegar and the pairing of today. I mean, I love it. That's the way I like to eat it.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, So I had the potatoes. The chips are great. Yeah, I think, I mean, potatoes don't go bad with almost anything. So they're really good, and they're home fried. They're fried at home. But I've also been snacking on the corned beef. With the Guinness, and okay. It's really good.
Well, it's made for.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I don't like a Reuben because I don't, they're the sauerkraut and some of the other stuff I don't really care for. But I think, you know, either of these beers would be great with a Reuben.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe a Reuben on Irish soda, even though it's supposed to be on rye.
Right. I got another story, Josh, for you.
Yep.
So back in April of 2018, Joanna and I were in Australia, and we were on a catamaran, and the intent was to do a lot of snorkeling.
Around the Great Barrier Reef, right?
Well, it actually wasn't the Great Barrier Reef. We thought when we booked it that it was, but it was some reef, and it was really, really fun, but it wasn't officially the Great Barrier Reef.
Oh, okay.
And we met a woman named Elaine, but she was not a really good swimmer. And so when we would go snorkeling, we would, all of us had the life jacket on if we wanted it. And If you wanted the noodles, you know, you'd take the noodles with you. And she asked me, would you hold my hand till I kind of get calmed down?
Yeah.
And I said, sure. Well, at the end of the sail, there was two other couples, and Joanne and I, and then Elaine. So then the captain and the cook. The thing that was fun was Elaine and Joanne and I weren't just heading off that night after we got off. Well, she made the mistake of saying, why don't you come visit
in Dublin? Little did she know that you guys are like, okay, we'll see.
Well,
we'll see you in a little bit.
Well, we told her, don't you say it unless you mean it.
Right.
So in September of that same year.
Oh, that's right.
We went to Dublin, and we stayed in her flat.
Yeah.
And we met her brother, Michael, and her brother's girlfriend. I can't remember her name. And then the neat thing, too, about Elaine is we hadn't done our research correct. Oh. Ireland, Dublin, is part of the EU. So we had...
Pound?
No, we had EU money.
You had euros.
We had euros. We didn't have any pounds.
Right, right.
Well, lo and behold, they take pounds in Dublin.
Well, yeah, they'll take them.
So, well, that's all they take. They don't take. They weren't taking.
What?
No.
They weren't taking euros?
No.
They weren't taking.
And so she gave us pounds so that we'd get on the bus and do the things we wanted to do.
That's strange.
Well, that's the way I remember it.
Now, I could see that when you visited David Christopher in Northern Ireland.
Well, maybe I got it back.
I was going to say, I think you probably had pounds, but didn't have euros.
I think we had pounds and we didn't have euros.
Because, that's what it did. Because you guys, that was the same trip where you went to Scotland.
That's right.
So you probably, I think you guys left straight from Scotland to go to Ireland.
Anyway, you know, we tour around. She tells us some places to go, and we go some places, and we end up going to St. James Gate, and didn't go to my favorite Irish whiskey, but anyway, we meet her one night at a restaurant, and, you know, we have dinner with her. I mean, she lives. We could have just gone back to her flat. I didn't want her to cook everything, so we met her at a restaurant. And,
right.
And she says, my mom and dad, they want to meet you. And I said, what? She said, yeah. Yeah, they want to meet you. They've heard so much. We go, well, okay. So we go to Brody's, and it's off the beaten track. This is not where the tourists go.
Right, it's definitely a local spot.
It's a local spot. And so we walk in, and there's Con, her dad, Angela, her mom, and there's this other fella named Jimmy. And we're thinking, oh, well, you know, Jimmy's like Con's brother or something. No, he's like just a family friend. And every Thursdays and Sundays,
yeah,
they go to this pub. And they drink their 6 pints. And then they go home and ride the bus.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, he shook my hand and he wants to talk about Arkansas and he wants to talk about Elvis because they had been to Graceland.
Oh, wow.
And they wanted to talk about Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun. And one of the things that was fun about it, you know, Con was drinking Guinness. I don't know what Jimmy was drinking. Elaine loves Heineken.
Yeah.
And her mom drinks Turbo Gold.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Anyway, next thing you know, it's like Jimmy's singing.
At the table?
Oh, yeah. This is a bar, you know.
What? No, it's a pub.
It's a pub. And they're starting to sing the song. Jimmy's over there singing in Irish.
Uh-huh.
A true Gaelic. Irish bro. Yeah, I guess Gaelic, right. Beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's Con's turn. And I mean, if you just turned your head away, you would think it was Johnny Cash. Because he's singing one of Johnny Cash's songs. And it's like, if you turn your head away, it's a Folsom Prison song.
Oh, okay. In that big, deep baritone.
Beautiful voice. And then Angela sings one. And I forget what Angela sang. And then Angela turns to me and she says, it's your turn. I said, what? It's like, and everything is a cappella job.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, everything.
That's the best. Those are the best pub songs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when a group of people start singing them. So what did you sing?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I told them I only sing in church, and that didn't count. that didn't go for nothing.
Did mom sing?
No.
Oh, okay.
We were embarrassed. I mean, you know, what song do we know? You know, it's not like we're not a singing family, actually, you know.
No, we're not.
But I think when we go back, we're going to have to be.
You're going to have to find a, like, a pub song that, like, if you start it, that right. The entire bar will, like, join in. Because that's, like, those are some of the great ones where you can just find something where everybody will start joining in.
That's kind of what they were doing somewhat. We found out, you know, when Con was working, and he's retired now.
Right.
He was one of those big crane operators.
Okay. A heavy crane operator?
Oh, big one. Yeah, heavy. And what Michael told us was somebody could put a quarter on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the hook be 200 feet up in the air.
Right.
And he'd drop that hook and kiss that quarter, then bring it back up.
You know,
is that accurate?
Well, yeah. So this is like, okay, now we're stepping into where I'm putting my educator hat on. We, in this country, we do not give the trades enough
mm-hmm.
push.
Mm-hmm.
We keep trying to send everybody to college. Not everybody needs to go to college. Like, that type of skill is so incredible. And I mean, like, that was well known that he did that. You know, nowadays we don't want people to go into construction.
Right.
It's, you know, you better do good in school so you don't end up working construction.
Well.
That's like, you know how much money those guys can make?
Right.
Especially highly skilled laborers like that. He was probably sought after.
Yeah.
And I mean, he probably unionized at that point. If you have those type of skills, you can just go so far. Okay, I'm getting way off topic here.
That's all right.
But
we also found out later that Con was in a rock band.
The family friend? Or no,
the father.
The father.
The father.
What, they did Johnny Cash covers?
I don't know what they did, but yeah, we found out he was in a band.
That's cool.
And then he realized he couldn't make a living. And make enough money for a family, so that's when he got into the
construction.
You're right. I don't know what a crane operator would make.
I mean, they probably make a good high quality crane operator probably makes more money than I do.
Well, it's a good story, and
yeah. I'll have to.
Elaine was planning to come visit us, but COVID kept.
Yeah.
She's still planning to come.
So. Where are you going to take her?
It's a real good question. I mean, she's been She's been to Memphis.
Well, I'm talking about in town.
I don't know. Well, you know, I can't even count the Irish pubs that we have as really Irish. I mean,
Hibernia may be the closest.
Yeah, because it's run by some Irish guy. And Cregan's, no.
Well, Cregan's probably won't be around by the time she gets here.
I don't know.
Dugan's is pubby.
Yeah, I'd say so.
To me, it fits the pub feel of the local, mm-hmm. of a local place. Because mm-hmm. when I know when I lived across the street from Dugan's, it was one of my places I would always go.
Yeah, a lot of people.
And a lot of people that were there lived nearby. Yeah. And, you know, they're on this side of the river, and then, you know, they were downtown. You know, Don Dugan does a good job over there.
Yeah, he does. All right, best on plate. What do you got, Josh?
Ooh. My plate, I think I like the corned beef and the Smithwick's.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very closely second, the Irish soda bread, because it was such an interesting pairing with that caraway.
Mm-hmm.
To me. What about you?
I love that meat too. But I'm with you about the soda bread.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've had that soda bread with the raisins. Or the caraway seeds. I don't remember.
Then you haven't had it. Soda bread.
But I guess the thing is I really hadn't dissected.
Okay. You haven't been thinking about it.
I'm just drinking beer and having the soda bread and having the corned beef and cabbage or the Irish stew or something like that. But yeah, I think I go with you on the bread.
And then on your plate, I really like the chips. I mean, I'm a sucker for a fried potato.
Mm.
And it worked really well with the beer. Very close second. I mean, I only ate two things, but... but, you know, close second was the stout. Because the cheese, because of its cheese inherent oddities
mm-hmm.
and how it worked with the beer. All right, what about you?
I love the fish, but that's so normal. I'm going to go with the cheese.
Cheese was your favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like you said, it wasn't the normal cheddar Dubliner that we've had before. It had that bittering with it, which kind of surprised me. And so I like that pairing.
I think the next time you do this, you should try and, like, right when the chips come out of the fryer, grate some of that cheese on top.
Oh, yeah.
Because it'll have the salt and that little funkiness. Yeah. I think that would be good. Yeah. That it would just be good on it. And cheese and potatoes. So well.
All right.
Well, you ready to get blinded?
I'm ready to be blinded.
All right. Let's get it poured up. All right.
So, Josh, when we were at the Brody's Bar, another thing happened that was really cool.
Yeah.
So, the lights went out.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was not an outage. The bartender noticed a guy come in that had already had too many beers.
Yeah.
Or too many drinks.
Okay.
And so they turned the lights out. And they told the guy, "We're closed. You need to go home."
And the guy turned around and go out?
Yeah. And then after he left, it's like, okay, turn the lights back on. Okay, we can go back to normal.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting way to do it. That's an interesting way to do it.
It was so funny.
Cool. All right, well, I got the blind poured up, and we'll go ahead and get into it. So tell everybody what tasting grid are you using?
A deductive beer tasting method, and it's a tasting grid.
All right, well, go ahead. Go for it.
All right, this beer is dark in color. And, I'm going to have to, it's not real cold, but it's been on ice for a while or been cold.
No, it's been out of the fridge for a while.
All right.
This time I wanted it to be closer to room temperature.
All right. So it's dark in color. It's got a brown looking head. It's, you know, I can't get any real legs off of it. You know, the head kind of just moves around with it. And smelling it, aroma. Hmm?
I didn't say anything.
No, I heard a crack. Okay. Hmm. It's not my final answer, but it kind of smells like Lord God.
Well, talk to us. Tell us what you're smelling. Don't just go, mmm, and say it in your head. You got to say it out loud.
Okay. I'm getting some roasty characteristics. Can't say it's barrel age. Hadn't tasted it yet. Just smell. But nice roasty, like chocolate smell and black in color. So I'm going to go and start a little taste here. No. Hmm.
What do you taste?
I'm tasting some good sweetness. Not a lot of bitterness. Gonna do it again here.
Are you getting any kind of like fruitiness on it, or any kind of like tart or bitter or hoppy flavors on it?
So I'm getting some fruity something. Not real hoppy that I can tell. Sweetness, I'd say medium plus. The bitterness, it's there, but it's not that high.
Yeah. So what about tartness? Do you get any kind of tartness on this?
Yes.
Or souriness?
Yes.
Like how much? Like is it just a little bit or is it like in your face?
It's not in my face. It's maybe more than just a little bit, so it's medium.
So is it prevalent? Would you say it's more than the sweetness?
The bitterness?
No, not bitter. We're not talking bitter. We're talking tart, sour. Is that more than the sweetness? Trying to guide you a little bit.
Oh, really? Help me out. Yes. So tartness is higher than the sweetness.
Okay. Yeah, that
finish is quick.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
So that pop that you heard,
mm-hmm.
that was me going, like, it made me pucker. It made my mouth go.
Yeah. I've got that. Hmm.
But you're right. There's a lot of, like, roast. Like, on the aroma and after the tartness, there's a lot of, like, roasty, lightly sweet characteristics. To me, it's like if you had a chocolate-covered lemon, like a dark chocolate-covered lemon.
Oh, that's a good explanation.
Dark chocolate-covered cherry, and you ate them at the same time.
Ooh, wow. Wow.
That's what it is. I love it. By the way, I love this beer.
Okay.
That's all the hints I got.
What do you
that's
love it. About it?
That's it. I love everything. I love everything about this beer.
Wow. It's a good beer. There's no doubt about that. It's sweet, but it's tart. It's got fruit. Subtle. What?
So now
you said cherries. I think that's probably what kind of might be.
So now just take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the base beer of this is? Do you think it's an IPA? Do you think it's a porter, a stout, a brown ale, a red ale, something else?
I'd say the base is a porter.
Okay. Do you think they have treated this in such a way that it makes it different than a normal porter?
Oh, yeah.
So what do you think they've done to it?
They've put fruit with it.
Okay.
Porters don't seem to be as tart, or porters aren't usually that bitter. This is not that bitter of a beer either.
Right.
That tartness is different.
So you think they've done something that has helped make it tart?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What, in your beer knowledge, what do you think that could be? I mean, adding fruit is, you know, that's one thing that you've said.
Yeah. Some special, I don't know if they added fruit with it.
Okay. Or?
Or if they use some special yeast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh man, now you got me all messed up.
So let me ask you this, and I think I can let you off the hook. What you're saying is that you think this initially started as a porter, and then mm-hmm. they've used some yeast to sour it.
Yes.
To make kind of a sour porter.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Where do you think the alcohol in this is?
It doesn't seem that high.
Okay.
But, you know, Guinness was only 4.2, and your Smithwick was 4. Something.
So what are you thinking? Give me 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Just make a guess or a ballpark.
I think it's higher than those two.
Okay.
Maybe six.
Okay. So you think this is a soured porter?
Yes.
At 6% alcohol?
Yes.
Cool. That's a, this is a fun beer.
Yeah.
Okay. Really like.
We'll see what it is next week.
Yeah, come back next week and figure out what this is. And I just want to give it, you know, before we end up, I just want to give a shout out to the Beer Avengers podcast. If you're listening to us and you love what we do here, go check out the Beer Avengers, like Avengers, but with beer in the front. They are a group of people out of undisclosed locations in the New York City metropolitan area.
Undisclosed Queen area.
And they have a core group of people who they do beer podcasts. They always talk about beer, and they'll talk about pairings and everything. But
sometimes they talk about they've done cider,
right? Which is a brewed beverage.
Yes, brewed beverage,
which I would consider beer.
Okay, all right.
But they focus on beer, and they've got a lot of history, you know, in the beer community up in New York City, in the New York City area, mm-hmm. and. They're just so fun to listen to. We actually gifted them a 4-pack of Nighty Night.
That's right.
And just recently, let's see, now when this podcast comes out, it'll be, so 3 weeks ago, on their episode 23, they all of them tried it at the same time, which is unusual for them.
Yeah, right.
Because
normally they pour a different beer each and they talk about their own personal beer, but this time they all pour the 99.
Right, which was awesome, and that, you know, they gave us a big shout out. So I don't want to give them a shout out because they're doing some really cool things up there. They're like us. We're just getting our legs under each other, and we'd like to see, you know, I hope in a PC, in a post-COVID world.
Mm-hmm. They invited us up.
Yeah, they've invited us. Maybe we can come, you know, sit down all together and do a big podcast on beer, and maybe we can throw in some pairings because they're hooked in with a cheese shop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we could do some real fun.
A story of beer and cheese.
That's right.
And I think it's in Queens.
In Queens. So they, you know, they've got connections there, and, you know, I think it'd just be super fun. And I just want to tell them on our podcast and to thank you. And all of our listeners out there, if you love good beer, go check out their podcast. Give them a shout out. They're on Instagram. They're on all the same sites we are when it comes to that. And it was really cool to listen to them,
right?
To try Nighty Night for the first time, because I had kind of forgotten my first Nighty Night try.
Oh yeah,
because it was four years ago, probably. 4 or 5 years ago. Was my first Nighty Night try, and just getting to experience that again with people who enjoy beer and enjoy good beer was a really cool
experience. Belgian babe is one of them, and she said, "Ooh, this is up in alcohol."
Yeah, it is. It's 10-5. It's labeled 10.5.
Might be 12.
We're not going to say anything. There are legal fluctuations when it comes to taxes and labeling laws. So. But we really appreciate their support. And if you like what we're doing here on the podcast, especially with our beer stuff, go check them out. They're doing an amazing job there.
All right.
So next week, we're kind of getting to this point with liquors that we're not quite sure how to categorize our liquors anymore. So next week, what we're going to do is we're going to do our favorite non-whiskeys.
Okay.
So no whiskeys, no scotch, no bourbon, none of that next week. None of that next week.
All right.
So, Dad, what are you going to do next week?
I'm going to do Bacardi rum.
You're going to do a Bacardi rum. Okay. That's going to be a good one. I am going to be doing a Calvados.
Well, you got me on that one.
Yeah. So, Calvados is a apple brandy from the northwest of France.
Oh, okay.
We'll get more into it during the episode, but I'm really excited about that. If you have episode ideas, feel free to send them to us. You know, we're on Instagram as Acquired Tastings, Twitter as Acquired Tasting because of character limits. We're on Facebook. Reach out to us. Send us a message of some ideas or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get it. If you do listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating or whatever star rating you see fit. That just gives us
a low rating. Tell us why.
Yeah, no big deal. yeah, let us know what you like or what you don't like about the podcast. Like we said, we're here learning. We're not even a year in yet. Can you believe that? Not even a year yet.
This might be number 38.
He said something like that.
Right.
But we're getting close to the year mark. But let us know what you like, what you don't like. Give us, you know, give us ideas of what you would like to hear on the podcast, or even a pairing idea.
Yeah, that's fine.
We'd love to hear from you guys. And we're just so thankful that you guys are listening to us. You are the reason that we do this, besides just us having an excuse to hang out
and drink
and eat. And drink and eat. So, once again, I'm Josh Mills.
And I'm John Mills.
And we'll see you next time.
Thank you and goodbye.